Hey guys, this is Little Apostate, and welcome back to Thinking in Criminal. So today, or tonight, it's night, I have a little bit of whiskey, and I want to talk about whiteness and what is happening in our schools, in our school system in the United States. Last year, I think we all remember that bizarre chart that came out, Aspects and Assumptions of Whiteness and White Culture in the United States. And that was the National Museum of African American Culture and History, I believe, that came out with that. And that was I saw that chart, and honestly, at first I thought it was a joke. I have the chart up right now, and just looking at it again, it's ridiculous. I mean, one, I think this is the most racist thing in the world, because how? How do you look at this and say, okay, no one who has these traits or, you know, embodies these traits is suffering and not working towards a goal. So this is essentially saying that no one of a different race naturally embodies these traits. Their first one is rugged individualism. The individual is the primary unit, self-reliance, independence and autonomy, highly valued and rewarded. Individuals assume to be in control of their environment. You get what you deserve. And that, to me, is one of the most it enables people to not take control of their own lives when you tell them that taking control of your own life is to assert white supremacy and to embody just whiteness. I think that is incredibly evil. No one cares. No one truly cares about you. The only person, I mean, obviously your family, if you have a good family, they love you. If you have a good husband or spouse or friends, they love you. They care about you. But they're not going to pay your way through life. They're not going to get you up off the couch and take the potato chips out of your hand. They really don't care that much. Because everyone at their core needs to work for themselves, work on themselves. And to say individuals assume to be in control of their environment. I mean, one, yeah, to everyone, to an extent, is in control of their own environment. Unless you are being bound and tortured, or unless you've been put in jail, or unless there's a meteor hurtling towards Earth, or if the weather sucks and you can't go outside, you can't go for your daily run, you are in control of your own environment and what you do with every single day when you wake up. And I mean, that's just the first bullet on this thing. And it goes through so many more. Family structure, having a intact family, an emphasis on scientific method, objective, rational, linear thinking, cause and effect relationships. Are you kidding me? What's wrong with cause and effect? Do consequences not exist? Do things not? Do dominoes not fall and knock each other over? Like, what does that even mean? History. Oh, history. History's bad. History's another bullet. History's white. Work ethic. Hard work is the key to success. I mean, time. The future, or future orientation. They have a plan for the future is whiteness. It's oppression. Delayed gratification. I mean, do you guys remember the Stanford marshmallow test, where they had little kids come in and they would put one marshmallow in front of them, and the kid would either they would tell the kid, they would say, if you do not eat this marshmallow until I come back, you get another marshmallow. And they studied the kids for years after they did this experiment, and the kids who waited for that second marshmallow had much more fulfilling and wonderful lives. And the ones who could not wait and ate the marshmallow ended up more depressed because they're always seeking instant gratification. Delayed gratification is a good thing. It means that you're okay with things not being perfect, or you're not getting your fill. Instant gratification is essentially what porn is. It's like, why is that a bad thing to delay gratification? So those are just, oh, and the time, follow rigid time schedules. Time viewed as a commodity. Time is a commodity. Time is the only thing that matters. It's, you have such a limited amount of time to live, and you're going to trade your time to make money. Time is a commodity. Like, and everyone across the world has to trade their time in order to live. That's just how it works. That's just how people trade things. That's just how people get things in return. So I saw this chart, laughed out loud, thought it was ridiculous, cannot believe, thought it was too ridiculous for this to really, truly make its way into our educational system. Or at least I had hoped. And I mean, I think it was Colin Wright who broke the story a couple of months ago on a, there was a lawsuit against a school because the teacher had changed or rewritten the curriculum to involve, this was, I don't know if I just mentioned this, but this was in Nevada. And they had changed the curriculum to involve kids standing up in front of their classmates and revealing their gender identity, their level of privilege, their sexual orientation. I believe the teacher had told the kids that she was bisexual herself. I, as a kid, why the hell would I ever want to know what my teacher's sex life was like? Can you imagine? I remember being in college and my teacher told us all that she was bisexual. And I remember just sitting there like, why the fuck do I need to know who you sleep with? I don't care. I just want you to teach me something. I don't want to know about your sex life. And I just thought she was weird, like a freak. I thought she was just crazy, and just, I shrugged it off. I was like, all right, she's just a little nutso. It's okay that she just told me that. I don't think it's not something I needed to know. It's not something I wanted to know. I don't go around telling everyone my, who I s enjoy kissing. I, you know, I'm not, kissing and telling has been a, it's, I mean, we're in the, in certain stages of an empire's decline, sex becomes a very, very important topic to people like her. And it would make sense, I guess, now looking back, that we are so far into this decline that a hired professor is professing her sexuality to a bunch of teen, late teen, 20 somethings, early 20 somethings. So, you know, at that time I didn't really know. I just thought she was crazy. But now we are seeing something even crazier. So, the East Side Community School in New York, the president, or the, I mean the principal there, he just sent out a list to all parents called the eight white identities. The eight white identities. And this list starts off with a tiny little, a couple sentences. The sentences are, there is a regime of whiteness, and there are action-oriented white identities. People who identify with whiteness are one of these. It's about time we build an ethnography of whiteness, since white people have been the ones writing about governing others. And he capitalized others. And white was not capitalized. I don't really care, but there's something weird going on here, right? I don't identify with whiteness. I've never, ever cared about being white. And now there's this list, which is abhorrent. It's disgusting, this list. The poor white kids who are growing up not knowing what this means. Being divided. Being looked at as, here you go, you have the chance now to be the good white identity and not any of these other terrible white identities, which I will now get into, because that's what they're doing. They're essentially, it's the same thing, same goddamn thing as what the Kamiklov did in Russia. And I know I bring them up all the time, but they made lists. They made lists. And they gave you who you were or who you could be. So if you were in the middle class, you could cater to the lower class and be a hero. Or you could go with the rich and you would be a kulak just like them. You would be vermin just like them. And there is now literally another list, just like the whiteness chart, but this one is being forced upon school children. So number one white identity is white supremacist. In the description under, clearly marked white society that preserves, names, and values white superiority. I mean, what does that even mean? What does that even mean? So, if we value our founding fathers because of what they created, that's us preserving and valuing white superiority? Are we supposed to erase what they've done in order to atone for the sin of being white? Of being born with white skin? And then number two, white voyeurism. White voyeurism. Wouldn't challenge a white supremacist. Desires non-whiteness because it's interesting, pleasurable, seeks to control the consumption and appropriation of non-whiteness, fascination with culture, example, consuming black culture without the burden of blackness. So, being black is a burden, is it? Isn't that a little racist to say? Can't someone love themselves for being black? Can't you just love who you are, despite whatever anyone else says? Why is it a burden? And because it's interesting and pleasurable. So immediately after white supremacy, you have this creep, I guess. A voyeur is essentially a creep. So you've got the evil white supremacists, then you have the white creeps. And then after that, you have white privilege. May critique supremacy. Okay, so we're already getting into people who actually are critics of white supremacy, but they're number three. So this is like top, the up there with the worst. The good people are at the bottom of this list. But white privilege is up there with the worst, and they may critique supremacy, but a deep investment in questions of fairness slash equality under the normalization of whiteness and the white rule's sworn goal of diversity. Okay, these people want diversity, but they're still bad. They're still bad. They're still number three on this list. White people, we are really, really fucked if we're going to atone for this sin of the color of our skin. Number four is white benefit. Sympathetic to a set of issues, but only privately. Won't speak slash act in solidarity publicly because benefiting through whiteness in public. Some people of color are in this category as well? White benefit. Who the fuck came up with this list? Right here it says Barner Hesse. I don't know if that's the principal or... I don't know who that is, but white benefit. So I guess anyone who just can just sneak by, they don't have to stand up on a stage like those poor kids in Nevada and lash themselves for being white in front of all of their classmates. White confessional is number five. Some exposure of whiteness takes place, but as a way of being accountable to people of color after seeking validation from people of color. Oh my God, we're down to five, and these people still suck, apparently, because they're just seeking validation. White critical, number six. Take on board critiques of whiteness and invest in exposing slash marking the white regime, refuses to be complicit with the regime, whiteness speaking back to whiteness. All right, these are, I guess now we're starting to get to the good white people. People who are critical of other white people. So people who disparage other people because of the color of their skin, even if they share the same color of skin. That's a good thing now. It's a good thing. You should be attacking other people for the color of their skin, essentially. And then number seven is white traitor. Oof. Actively refuses complicity, names what's going on. Intention is to subvert white authority and tell the truth at whatever cost. Need them to dismantle institutions. Tell the truth at whatever cost. What's the truth here? I'm pretty sure the truth here is that this list is fucking bullshit. And that it's wrong. And that it's exactly. Imagine if this list was switched around. If you had black supremacist, black voyeurism, black privilege, black benefit, black confessional, black critical, black traitor. Can no one see? Can none of these people see how fucking messed up and racist this is? And you're sending this out to an entire school of diverse people? And this is supposed to sow unity? You cannot tell me this shit is supposed to sow unity. I mean, when I went to school, I was in a majority white school, and I was in one of the... By the time I was about to graduate, I had become friends with a very diverse group of individuals. And I remember I had talked about this in my first episode, but when my best friend sat me down and called me a racist, she then put me on the spot and said, "Do you even have any black friends? Have you ever had a black friend?" And I my head was so spun around by this question that was so strange to me. Like, why do I have to think about, why do I have to go back and, like, list off all of my friends who were of a different color? To me, everyone's always been just my friend, if they're my friend. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? And I couldn't answer her because I was so, my head was so just messed up from that question. And she just nodded and she was like, mm-hmm, that's right. And then I went home and I thought about it and I was like, I had a ton of black friends in high school and in college. One of my best friends in college that I still to this day talk to is black. And she's amazing. And I never thought about her like that. I never thought about the color of her skin. But anyways, that was a little anecdotal rant. I will now get to the last and the best. This is the, if you want to go to heaven, this is what you want to be. Number 8, white abolitionist. Remember abolishing slavery? Well, now this is abolishing whiteness. In the description under, changing institutions, dismantling whiteness, and not allowing whiteness to reassert itself. What? What? This is what kids are learning? Dismantling whiteness in school. And so if they're dismantling whiteness, are they dismantling the traits of whiteness on the whiteness chart? Are they taking down people just for being white? Are they hurting their friends for being white? Are they telling their friends they're bad because they're white? Are they forcing those kids to get up just like they did in Nevada and lash themselves essentially for being white? What? How is this list allowed? How is this a part? How is a principal at a school sending this out thinking this is a good idea? I mean, I know that there's not going to be a Holocaust or anything against white people in America, but as I said before, turning people against each other is what leads to that kind of shit. This shit is bad. This shit ruins countries. It tears people apart. It turns you against your neighbor. It'll turn school kids against each other. We fought so hard to end segregation, and yet here we are making everything about separating people based on identity again. Telling people what they have to feel based on what they look like. And if you're white, you stand over there, you get on the stage, and you lash yourself. And if you're black, you get to sit back and tell them how much they hurt you. Does anyone realize how good it feels sometimes to play the victim? To get sympathy? Do you know, as a girl who has been manipulative at points in my life, how good it felt sometimes if I was fighting with one of my ex-boyfriends to be the victim in that situation. And now we have this entire group of people being told they're victims, children being told they're victims. What do you think that's going to do to them? It's going to teach them that victim is good. The more positive reinforcement they get for being victims, the more people in that class are never going to strive to succeed because they're just going to wait for people to tell them that they're sorry and that they deserve everything they have and that they're going to give it to them. Work free. Yeah, I don't know, man. I really do not like seeing this stuff. White abolition. White abolition. Yeah, I don't know, guys. The next generation is... like, we're kind of all we've got right now. These groups of people who are choosing to talk about this, who want to stop this, because this is evil. This is insidious shit. And we could sit back and be quiet and just, you know, nod our heads and tell everyone we're sorry. We're sorry for being white. I'm sorry I was born the way I was born. No, I've never hit anyone or hurt anyone or enslaved anyone or taken anything from anyone that wasn't mine. I've never stolen. I've never done anything like that. But I'm sorry that I was born with a lighter pigment of skin. So is that what we want the world to be like? Just a bunch of people lashing themselves on the street for the color of their skin? Taking down institutions that... what are they even talking about? Do they even know what they're talking about? Do they know where actually... impoverished, why black people have worse living situations than the United States? Have they gone into anything else besides systemic racism, which I just held up my fingers and did quote hands, because I don't think they do. Or if they do, they're ignoring it because it's way more fun to hate everyone else for being white. And to say, oh, white people put everyone else in this situation. I don't know. And as always, guys, like, I'm not an expert. I kind of just read off that list and just ranted a bit. But I guess, isn't that kind of what a podcast is? You don't want to hear me write out a script and just read it. I mean, I'm sitting in my closet with my glass of whiskey and my throat is getting sore from talking. And I'm, you know, it's very tiny in here. This is not a very official production. But yeah, I'm so goddamn tired of seeing everything be about race. That is the way societies fall. We just care about this dumb fucking shit. And we just pretend that all of we pretend that all of these traits that turn you into a better person are evil, and then all of these traits that turn you into a less, like a poorly functioning person are just so saintly. Like, oh, it's good now. It's good. Go have sex with everyone you want. Who cares about STDs? Who cares? This, all of this empowerment for things that are just debaucherous? I'm so fucking sick of it. I'm so sick of it. Like, I'm not a perfect person. I've made my mistakes. You know, I have, but I regret them and I don't do them again because there are things that I've done that would fall under that debaucherous category and they make me feel like shit. So I say to myself, I will not do that again. I would rather embody the traits on that goddamn fucking whiteness chart any day of the week. Alright guys, I've probably gone a little too long here. But someone actually asked me or told me maybe I should be like a little happier or not make these so depressing. But it sucks because the current state of the world is so depressing. I wish I was like a comedian or something so I could tell you guys a joke. But I don't have any jokes. I had one joke that I used to go around and that I would tell at bars, but it was so inappropriate, one, so I shouldn't say it. And two, I mean, it was so, so inappropriate. I really used it less as like trying to impress people and more as trying to get people to leave, like men who wouldn't leave me alone. I would use it to get them to leave me alone, and they did. One guy like completely just looked at me, shook his head, and walked away. And it was a very politically incorrect joke. And I think, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not that funny though, so, well, I don't know. Some people tell me I'm funny, but in terms of politics, like I just love talking about this stuff so much that it can be hard to be funny sometimes when you're getting kind of upset and frustrated by everything going on, and then all of a sudden this chart about eliminating your race comes out that's being circulated to an entire school of children. But alright, I mean, I think I've kept you guys long enough. I will go to sleep now and hopefully not dream about how identity politics is destroying our country, but we'll see. So have a fantastic night. Thank you, or day, depending on when you listen to this. And thank you for listening. Really, truly means a lot every time. So, thank you, and goodbye.